In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we have a parable to think about and to consider. It's a story of a historical event where a possessed man was freed of the demons that lived within him, and they in turn went into swine, and the swine were drowned, and our Lord was asked to leave the area where the man had lived because the people who kept the swine had lost their livelihood and were afraid. Certainly, it's a historical event, but I tell you, it's a parable. Much of what is in the Scriptures is a parable. Most everything. Because we should read the Scriptures such that we would see what it means for us. How do the Scriptures apply to us? How are we weak? How are we, if God allows, and God helps, how are we strong? Where do we need to improve? Are we represented by any of the characters in the stories that we read? This is a parable. Now, the Lord arrives in the Gadarenes, and there's a man who's possessed. He's possessed by many demons. He himself says, legion. There are so many demons that he has to say legion and not just name them by name. Now, he doesn't wear any clothes. Clothing is always a sign of virtue in the Scriptures. Neither does he abide in a house. Think of this house as being the house of the Lord. Think of this house as being an indication that a man is at peace, that a man is perfected. This poor man had no peace, had no virtue. He ran around naked, and in fact, he was so dangerous to the populace, and they cared so little about him, actually, as well, that they put him in chains and fetters, and he would still break these chains because he was so strong. The demons within him were so strong. Does this ring any bells to you? If you read it with spiritual eyes, it should. Think of the legion of demons as being a legion, not of demons, but of passions. If you were asked by the Lord, and what is the name of the passion that is in your heart, could you say one name? Or would you have to say legion? Would you have to say laziness? And also pride? And also lustfulness? And also selfishness? And would you have to go on and on and on, naming passion after passion that still controls your heart? In fact, that still has you bound many times. I think any Christian that truly looks into his heart would have to answer, if asked for the name of a passion that applies to him, he would have to say legion. And he would have to also feel that many times he is constrained by these passions, that they eat away at his will and make him incapable of doing good. This is what the passions do to us. They build terrible habit in us. They build terrible... there's a terrible power in them that makes us incapable of doing well. We want to think kindly of a person that has hurt us, and yet when their name comes up, even in our mind, we're filled with anger. We remember wrongs. We're unsettled. We want to think pure thoughts, and yet we have trouble with our eyes. We want to say our prayers, and yet we're too tired and we cut them short or forget them or watch too much television. We want to be temperate and always be prepared, and we eat too much or drink too much. Many times we're constrained by our passions. That is not to say that the passions are at fault. The passions are not sentient beings. The passions are what we have done to ourselves. We're at fault for allowing these things to control us. I've said this before. Why do you think the church prays in every single major service, such as liturgy and vespers and matins? Why do we always pray to be delivered from necessity? We'll do it today. This necessity is the passions that control us, that tear off our clothes, that is, our virtue, and that keep us from living in a house, in the house of God, in peace. So we pray to be delivered from necessity in every service, because there are chains that bind us. So we're not so unlike this man, are we? We don't run around literally naked. We're not literally as violent as him. We're not cast out of the city as he is. But the inner reality is that there is a legion within us. Now the good news is the Lord came so that he would cast the legion out. Out of this man and out of us. Each one of us. And that's why he became incarnate. So that he would make flesh able to become completely virtuous and get rid of everything that is evil. Everything. Every darkness. Every impurity. Everything cast out. Have you ever noticed how there are many, many, many names for sins? And there are fewer for virtues. There are listings of sins from the various fathers have come up with. There's one that's like 350. But the virtues are very simple. You can really sum them up with one, and that's love, which encompasses everything. And yet the sins are so complex that we can't really sum up sins with one, really only one word. There are just so many ways that we can fall short of God. So many ways that we can live in the tombs, right? In a dead place, away from the light of God. Now the man sees Jesus and he says, "Don't start tormenting me," because the demons know the Lord came to cast them out. And we should also know. And we should, as it were, serve notice to our heart, to the passions within our heart, that the Lord came to cast them all out. Not indeed to torment us, but to give us freedom. Now, the Lord commanded the demons to go out into the swine. And this is also to give us an illustration of how powerful passions are, how evil they are, and how they really have no good effect whatsoever. There's no purpose to lust. It has no benefit. There's no purpose to anger. It has no benefit. None of the passions lead to anything good. When they're inside of us, we don't see how truly evil they are. We don't see how ugly they are. But here is an illustration of how ugly they really are. The passions, the demons, come out of the man, and they go into the swine. And the swine are so riled up by these demons, and the anger of the demons, and the pure malevolent hatred and evil activity of these demons, that even a brutish heart of a pig cannot take it. And they ran down the hill and were choked in the lake. The Lord wants us to realize how powerful our passions are and how evil they are and how they will lead us to no good whatsoever. Now, do we really need to see our passions outside, to see their effect, to see what our hatred does to someone, or fall into lust or other such things, to see how evil they really are? Why don't we just take the Lord's word for it in this parable? And why don't we desire for them to be cast out before they do any more harm? So the demons are cast out, as our passions should be cast out. And the man is left whole and normal. Not normal as the world sees normal, because the world sees these many passions as good things. They hold them close. They're thought to be virtues. But we should know better. We should know that anything that is against the will of God is like this these demons that cause the swine to be drowned. It's of no good at all. The man's normal, in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, able now to be able to feel God's love and to be able to improve, to be changed. What a wonderful day it was for this man. What a wonderful day. And then the swineherders who saw what happened, they went into town to their masters and told them. And their masters came back to see what happened and saw that all their swine were dead. And that this man, who they didn't care much about, except they wanted to make sure he didn't hurt them, and they exiled him out of their city, that he was in his right mind. He was one of their brothers. He had family and relations in the city, most likely. They cared nothing about him. They only cared about their prophet. And then they asked the Lord to leave because they were afraid. Now, I said this story as a parable. Do you ever ask the Lord to leave because you were afraid? Is there ever a passion that you hold on? Are you really unwilling to give all of your life to God? To trust Him in every aspect of your being? Do you ever tell Him to leave? Are you like these townspeople? Perhaps you say, I don't raise swine. I don't knowingly disobey the law, because after all, it was against the Jewish law to raise swine, right? Because they were an unclean animal. Jews should have nothing to do with pigs whatsoever. He shouldn't eat them. He certainly shouldn't raise them. Perhaps you say, I don't break the law in such a way. If you do, then you're a fool. We break the law constantly. And we constantly say to the Lord, leave me. It's frightening to say it out loud, but it happens in the recesses of our heart. So we might as well admit it. We make choices, or we say to the Lord, please leave me. Please don't make me struggle so much. Please don't go into this aspect of my life. We ask the Lord to leave, just like these townspeople. Now, we could be as the man, seated before the Lord, drinking in everything He says, just as Martha did, right? Sitting before the Lord, learning the one thing needful. Excuse me, Mary, what Mary did, right? But we too often are like the townspeople. Now, if we recognize that we have legion within us, and the Lord is casting out this legion, then we should be so grateful that we should ask the Lord continually, continue to help me. Don't leave me. Tell me what else I need to do. You know, the Lord cast the demons out, and they ran away down the cliff. And it happened in a moment, in a flash. But that's not the way it happens in our life. Our legion doesn't leave us all at once. Well, that would be nice if the Lord had a wand and he waved it. Okay, you're better now. No suffering. It's real easy, pushing a button. But that's not the way our life is. This legion of passions is deeply enmeshed in the way we live. And it takes a lot of effort to root it out. The Lord has the power But he expects us to do the work. He gives us the ability, but we must root these passions out. We must struggle. We must live a Christian life. We must have priorities such that it's important to us to be Christians. It's important to us to struggle against our passions. It's important to us to struggle to say our prayers when we're too tired, to fast when it's inconvenient or we're hungry, to forgive someone even when they're a real jerk. The Lord expects us to continue to struggle. He's casting the legion out, but not all at once. Because the greatest passion would overtake us if we became so perfect. That is pride, right? If we never had a problem with any other passions. Pride would consume us. We would be like the man who says, I followed all these commandments. Right? The ruler, the rich ruler. I followed all these commandments from my youth up. I respected my parents and da-da-da-da-da. He had no clue how much of a legion was still within his heart. So the Lord slowly heals us. Let us be like this man who was healed. Let us sit at his feet. But with us, we'll be sitting at his feet, but we'll still be infected a little bit. We won't be completely clean yet. But let us fight any urge to ask the Lord to leave. And let us ask him, what shall we do? And when the Lord says, I want you to work harder at this, I want you to struggle more against this passion, I want you to show some more self-control, I want you to not be so selfish, I want you to stop eating like a pig, I want you to stop acting like a pig around other people, I want you to love people that are not so lovely, I want you to give of yourself to people, just as I give of all of myself to you, and you don't deserve it. So it's immaterial whether other people deserve it or not. Since we don't deserve God's mercy and he gives it to us, we should give our mercy to everyone. It takes effort. Continual effort. Daily effort. And then the legion will be cast out. The good news, the great news, is that the Lord came to give us complete perfection. To have us be clothed in the wedding garment, perfect and spotless and so white that you can't even look at it. And to be in a house. The Lord prepared many mansions for us. All these things are ours to have if we only struggle. The Lord will help us with everything. Let us admit, we're like this man. We have a legion. And the Lord came to get rid of the legion. Let us fulfill his purpose in us. Let us continue to struggle. Let us have that good work that has begun in us completed until the day of Christ Jesus. By our struggle, by our toil, by our desire, by our accepting responsibility, and also accepting our Lord's authority to tell us what to do with everything in our life. And as we try to be like this man, in the end, right? Not when he was possessed, but to be completely healed, let us look carefully and see if we have any of the townspeople in us. If we ever ask the Lord to leave. You know, when the people, I've said this before, this is one of the most chilling parts of Scripture to me. So I have to mention it again. When they asked the Lord to leave, he did. And their life went on. It didn't change much. I'm sure they found other sources of swine and started raising them again. And sure, they had a lean year because they didn't have their profit for that year, but they worked back up and everything was fine and hunky-dory. And then they died. And the Lord didn't come back. And then they saw how much they had lost when they were dead. They didn't know during their life. They were relieved that he never came back. Let's not have it be that way with us. Let's not miss out and not know what we missed until our death. Let's read this parable with faith and with longing and with desire. And let's amend ourselves today and tomorrow and the next day so that all of our legion would be cast out. May God help you in all things. Thank you.